Cliff Central.
The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.
Is this thing on? You're listening to The Bounce Show. It's live. Well, not this bit, but it's live on CliffCentral.com.
It's Cliff Central, Blatt.
Sorry, scrap that, delete it. CliffCentral.com.
Right, here we are, The Bounce Show. Something different for you this week. We have a star player. Now, I'm trying to mix up a little bit. So every month, as you know, right here on Cliff Central, every Monday I've got an hour show where I try to bring you the best of whatever is going on right now. Also with the best interviews, the best insights, just like the kind of people that you should be getting more about in sport. So I'm taking it kind of to another level now. We're going to have like a player takeover once a month. So today I've got Dominic Hendricks, rising SA cricket star, and he's going to be the first guy. He's actually going to run a bit of a pilot with me as far as giving you once a month. I'll get a guy in here and be a great player profile for you. So Dominic, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
This is very nice of you. I'm sorry about the delay in getting this all together. See, because now we're doing a pre-record, but this is going to be live, because this is the beauty of Cliff Central, that you can get things to be live right now, or if you podcast, that you're going to get it like that. So, you are kind of like guinea pig on this, and it's going to be very easy though. So I know you've done many interviews before. People have asked you things about what do you think about the team, what's the weekend going to be like, how's preparation for it, all that kind of stuff, which is kind of difficult. So we'll get into like the nature of the media with you as well. But today's interview is basically creating like a player profile, so that if someone was to maybe look at you, spend millions on you in future, and they want to go, wow, we need to get more info about this guy, maybe this podcast could be it.
Okay.
So I'm actually using it completely to build my own career with yours.
Oh,
so
that's not a problem at all then.
Could be symbiotic, I think is the word.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Cool. So, the first section is just basically who you are. We'll get into basically your influence, all that kind of stuff. And then we go into your things around your phone, because one of the big things about Cliff Central, obviously, and sport in general nowadays, social media is huge. It's a massive driver. And just can give an idea of what your sports stars use your phones for. When you can use your phones, when you can't, that kind of stuff, and then get more into about your playing career. And then finally, we've got a quick fire question round right at the end. You'll have one pass. There's one question you can pass. Otherwise, you've got to just lay out the answers.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Not too nerve-wracking.
Yeah, huh? Not too.
Okay, so let's get right into it. So 25, born in PE. You play for the Gauteng franchise. Definitely one of the rising stars right now. And I've done quite a lot of prep on you. And pretty handy average so far, huh? You're all of 25. 37 is your average first class wise.
Yeah.
Top score of 176 not out.
Yeah, that's right.
You are a left-handed opening top order batsman.
That is correct, yes.
Do you spot a wicket keeping on the side?
I've done it over the past couple of years, but I only did it 2 years ago and the year before that when Tommy had a bit of an injury, so his back was in trouble, so I had to kind of step in. Mid-game, and I was the guy that fitted the suit ready to do it.
No, I don't want you to be one of those lumped-up batsmen who are really, really good, but then you have to stand behind the stumps and you get bad back.
No, yeah, exactly. That's one of the reasons why I've actually decided to kind of pass it on, because it took a lot of strain on my back, and especially my batting. I mean, that is my strong suit. So
for sure,
if I can't do my job, then.
This is the curse of talent, right? When you can do something, people make you do it all over. It's
yeah,
like,
that's
oh,
the
well, if we can play you, we've got two birds with one stone. We've got a batsman and a keeper.
Exactly that. So,
So basically, you're the next Ebby de Villiers, is what you're saying. You've got the same problems.
I wish I had office talent, too.
So, 9 first class hundreds so far. You made your first class debut back in 2010. So, you were 19?
Yeah.
That's pretty incredible.
That was
incredible,
just
huh?
after the Under-19 World Cup, yeah.
Under 19 World Cup, where you completely cleaned up 391 runs, average of 97.95. Told you, did a lot of prep here.
Yeah.
So you were the leading run scorer back in the Under 19 World Cup. That is an incredible feat. And your first class debut, you made 60, batting with Stephen Cook.
Yeah, that's right.
So you, Stephen Cook, Timber Bavuma, cleaned up in that game. So
yeah, we did. We played against Northwest, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct. Dominic, you're actually a relatively big deal, I've got to say. So anyone who didn't know you prior to this, I mean, come on, you've got to know more about your cricket. So where did it all start there? So you. Basically born in PE, Eastern Cape lad, now living here. So what was the progression of your cricketing career from school onwards, basically?
Cricket started when I was really, really young. I think I was probably like 3-4 years old. And I got into it really just watching on TV and playing in the yard. I used to spend a lot of time with my gran. Mm-hmm. And my uncle was in high school at the time. So during school holidays, he'd be home a lot. After school, he'd come home and we'd literally just play in the yard. Or play in the street, and that's where it really started. Then school, played Baker's Mini Cricket.
You're not that young, so it was Baker's still.
It was Baker's still that time.
Did you get the bat?
No, I didn't get the bat. They were only on loan. It was the school's property.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it was like a slab of plywood, basically. It wasn't.
Pretty much.
It wasn't
yeah.
And then you got a few biscuits afterwards. Okay. So what school did you go to down the Eastern Cape?
I went to St. Dominic's Priory. So that was in Port Elizabeth. I started in grade R. And then, I went through all the way till grade 8. Played provincial cricket, started when I was 13, so okay. Under 13B.
So you're pretty gifted from the start then, this is quite clear.
It seems that way, yeah. Had to move up to Joburg. My dad lost his job, so moved up to Joburg with my sister and my mom. And he moved up the year before us. So I did grade 9, I started grade 9 in Johannesburg. Mm-hmm. And then I've been here since. Got to Joburg, did playing under 15 cricket. So as soon as I got to Joburg, got myself into the system here. And then was lucky enough to, while I was at Ferndale High School over here, and then was lucky enough to get a bursary at St. David's. So I did grade 11 and matric at St. David's.
Oh, fantastic. Mm-hmm. Okay. So kind of a conventional route. And then from there, going to under 19 SAT, you were the SA Academy as well.
Yeah.
So you've been quite a conventional success story in that you've just worked bloody hard from the beginning. And it just goes to show, we talk about a lot in the country about opportunities for young players, and the school system was obviously instrumental to that.
Yeah, definitely.
As far as getting that sort of scholarship bursary thing, were you just so damn good at cricket, or were you also quite academic too?
I wouldn't say I was very academic. I'd admit myself I was quite lazy in the academics department. And if I had to look back now, that's definitely one thing that I would have changed in school. I would have worked a little bit harder.
I always think that too. Hey, we have so much time as kids,
exactly.
But back then we just didn't realize it.
Just get through school.
Yeah.
I was lucky enough to get the bursary. And it was my under 17 manager at the time. He kind of asked me where I was at school and asked if I was enjoying it there. And I said, no, I wasn't, because I was at a private school before. And he's like, okay, well, what if I could sort you out with like a bursary to come to my school? And then I was like, okay, well, I'd love that, but just speak to my parents first.
Fantastic.
And then, I never looked back since then.
Okay, well, that says the intro part of this interview. Next section we're going to get into is with your smartphone. Now, one of the things I'm going to get into is the kind of music you're listening to. So your first option here, we're going to play a few songs to see what you're all about. Your first song here is Drake, Controller. Mm-hmm. Big Drake fan, huh?
Yeah, I am. Always been.
Yeah, I got to say, some of his music is quite good. I approve of it. Some people say he's not legit rap, though, not legit hip-hop. What do you got to say about that?
I think he's a bit of everything. He has different elements to him, and I think we've seen it over the past couple of years. So, I've been a fan of him since I've heard one of his first songs. So.
Okay, well, you're going to start with some Drake, and then we'll get into the phone section of the class there. Hey, welcome back. Dominic's first choice of music was a Drake song, Controller. He did a Serena Williams for a while, didn't he?
He did. I believe so. Yeah.
It wasn't just like speculation or rumors.
No, I think that was definitely true. He was always there, so.
I think that totally benefited his career more than hers.
Definitely.
All right, Dom, so we're going to get onto the smartphone section of our interview here, because I can imagine back if you were a star sports player like a long time ago, there wasn't many distractions. You'd kind of just play your match, you'd have a few drinks, read a newspaper from here and there. But now, with the smartphone being what it is, you're constantly getting access to what the outside world is saying about stuff. Mm-hmm. It must be very, very distracting. So first up, what was your first ever phone?
My first ever phone?
Your first ever, ever phone.
I think it was a Sagem.
Okay.
A little black and white phone, a black and white color screen. I think it also had polyphonic ringtones, if I'm not mistaken. So.
Those were the business, huh?
Yeah.
When it was like nothing
make
else.
Make your own songs.
And they came out and they had all these horrible adverts spamming us about, get this ringtone, polyphonic.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
We actually really have gone such a long way as a human race. Huh?
Yes, we have.
So currently, are you Android? You're an Apple man? What's your preference?
I'm on Apple at the moment. I was Android for the past couple of years, but I think I've had enough of Android for now. So I've just moved to Apple.
Yeah, I was that guy too. I tried absolutely everything, and then there's so much pressure here on Cliff Central because everyone does Apple, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Gareth said to me, "You can't use a phone that's going to make us look dodgy." I had like this really big Nokia. I loved it. But anyways, so I'm also Apple now. Okay, so what are your favorite apps? What takes up most of your time on your phone?
Social media-wise or just any apps in general?
Yeah, just in general.
Well, WhatsApp, first and foremost, yeah. I think just communicating with everybody. Then I spend quite a bit of time Instagram, Snapchat.
Do you have like a team WhatsApp group?
Yes, we do.
Amongst players, or is like everyone got a mandatory?
It's more a management group. There was like a team group back in the day, like a few years ago, but then things just got out of control. Like you're getting texts on this thing at odd hours in the morning, and you're just like, okay, that was the end of that. So
I can always imagine, because like WhatsApp groups to me are the bane of my life, because either your family or it's work, or there's like people who want to have funny groups or golfing groups.
Spam me with the most ridiculous things.
I mean, I gotta say, not that we'd ever be in a position where I'd mute you, but all my WhatsApp groups are all muted.
No, I'm exactly the same.
I pick them up as I go along.
Exactly.
My family's listening right now, they're gonna be horrified. It's the truth though. So okay, so WhatsApp, social media wise, what are you on? What do you spend most time on?
I'd say Instagram and Snapchat. But I am on Twitter, but more on Twitter just to get some information about, see what's going on really in the world.
Yeah, for sure. And Snapchat, like I haven't gone to that yet. Is this something we should all be doing?
Well, Instagram has actually introduced something similar to Snapchat with those video previews that are only up for 24 hours. So that's pretty much the essence of Snapchat.
Okay, so I shouldn't bother. Instagram have incorporated everything I should have worried about.
The only difference really, like Instagram, it's got a bigger community than Snapchat. Yeah. So you can actually see your people that you are following. So like, I don't know, Usain Bolt, if he puts something up, you'll be able to see it. Whereas Snapchat, you needed really the person's username to start following them. And then
you've lost me already, that sounds so difficult.
Yeah, it's complicated at first. And I was also the same, like when I first got it, I was like, what is this? This is such rubbish. And then, yeah, I got into it really.
Okay, so what kind of stuff do you throw out on social media?
What I'm really up to. So if I'm playing around golf, I don't know, walking my dog, or if I go out and I see something funny, then just really pick it up.
So you're a pretty normal guy deep down, though.
Yeah, really.
So we're going to get to follow you on social media.
Yeah, exactly.
Are there any sort of professional guidelines that's, you know, so your franchise, for instance, say to you, okay, right, social media is your thing, but please don't do this, this, and that. Is it just obviously the normal? Don't be too controversial. Do you guys get trained in that kind of stuff?
Oh, we do. But it's more from the corruption side of things. So how people try and approach you.
Of course, yeah. Right, that's
so
a
big
trained, deal.
So you're trained in that way, like if you're getting approached or stuff like that. But generally, it's like you shouldn't put stuff that shouldn't be on social media up on
just
social media.
Just don't be like an English cricketer, basically.
Yeah, don't be stupid
just
about
it. Just don't be like Kevin Peterson and that
kind exactly.
of stuff. Yeah, exactly. Okay, do you Pokemon Go?
I was on my Android, but then it's so much of an effort to get it on iPhone. So I was just like, I'll just wait until it actually officially releases.
Okay. I can imagine, because again, this is the thing that's taking the whole world by storm. Do you have other guys in the Lions team or the Yokating team that do Pokemon Go as well?
There are a few, actually. There's a few guys that actually take it quite
seriously. Who's the oldest guy doing Pokemon Go in your team?
The oldest? Jeez. I think I would be actually the oldest. And I'm like one of the younger guys, but it's because it was in my generation. So I grew up watching it when I was younger. So guys abuse me about it, but I'm like, well, I watched it. I mean, you only know Pikachu, so get out of here.
Yeah, it's just everyone has Pikachu.
Yeah, exactly.
So take me through like your sort of match day, social media wise. Would you be on your phone during the match, or is it constant like a no-go area in the change room?
So it's been different over the years. Under different coaches, we've had different policies. But at the moment, you're allowed to be on your phone. But I mean, it's obviously not advised before you're going out to bat or anything like that. But you are allowed to be on. So you can see people, like some of the guys are on their iPads or on their phones, looking at stuff on Facebook and Instagram.
Is that quite like a universal thing, or is it just certain teams have certain like policies?
Yeah, it's pretty much team policy. I know with the pro tiers, you're definitely not allowed to use your phone at all. So
really?
It's like a no-go because of people can just influence you or try and approach you at any given stage through anything.
I totally forgot about that. That my naive mind was thinking, okay, well, that's a connection point to the players.
Yeah.
Because exactly that can, that. Yeah, exactly. Because I mean, spot fixing, that kind of stuff, it really is just so much easier because your connections. Who knows who you're talking to or how you're talking to people?
Exactly, yeah.
And you could even be doing something so subtle in social media that someone else knows what to bet on. Ah, see, now I'm learning. This is an informative interview for me as well. Okay. Music on your phone. So when you're on tour or you're going around, like prior to the match, do you have like things that are quite upbeat or do you like to get in a sort of more relaxed kind of zone?
It's really how I feel on the day. So if there's like particular music that I'm into at that particular time, then I listen to it. Or sometimes I just literally put my iPod on shuffle and then just whatever's playing, let it play.
Okay, so what else we got? We got Drake. Any sort of like, you have like chill out music, any sort of rock? Again, it's just you're a man
house,
of me.
House music. So I love my music. So house music, some old school R&B, old school hip hop. So from the 90s. I just listen to pretty much everything.
Okay. Well, we're going to bring in our next song here. Okay. So that's very interesting about the whole, it's all down to teams as far as the policy is concerned of what social media is. I always think like when it started, you know, again, referencing the English, because there's been some great headlines around them and they always get into trouble. Like, I'd love to hear some of the team meetings that went after that. Like, you tweeted what? Because, like, I know some people.
You'd love to be a fly on that wall.
Exactly. Though. And those two, because those guys are the best. I mean, English sport for me is these guys should win a Laureus Award every year. Just be entertaining. No, he's actually successful, just massively entertaining. Right, so you need to queue up the next song. So DJ Kent, also like a big favorite of yours. So you also like quite a lot of local music is actually worth having in your phone nowadays, I found.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying the whole cloudy 90% thing is a good thing, but there's so many amazing producers coming up, amazing DJs. Do you also go out and like, do you follow certain DJs club-wise and go to certain gigs like that?
Well, I haven't actually been out on the scene in a while, so only occasionally. But I do keep track on a few people.
Okay.
A few locals.
All right, so DJ Kent. Favorite DJ Kent song right now?
My favorite one right now. What's the one with Dominic O'Neill? I don't know if it's going to play now or later.
This one, okay. Dominic O'Neill, wait, I've got this.
I think it's Love You Still. Or
Love You Still,
yeah.
This one. Okay, here we go. All right, DJ Kent, Dominic Neal. After this, we're going to get into your career proper.
Okay.
See, it starts off quite slow, but the question is going to get quite rigorous from here. But who says I needed someone to break my heart? Who says you needed to come along and tear it all apart? Because I don't know, but you do it so well. I know it's crazy, but I love you still. I love you still, I love you still, oh, I love you still, I love you still. All right, welcome back. We're chatting to Dominic Hendricks today, Gauteng cricketer. So we're going to get into like the more serious part of the interview now, actually your career, your life as a cricketer. So just kind of growing up, you know, we've been through the ranks of how you developed just your skill, your talents to get to where you were. What's your sort of goal your professional kind of goal as far as nowadays as a cricket professional, your options are a lot more open than they used to be. In the past, you'd kind of play domestic cricket, hopefully you'd get the national team and that would be like the ceiling, the be all and end all. Now there's all kinds of other options when you think about T20 is done for the game. Do you have a kind of path that you're looking at to kind of fulfilling, or is it very much just take opportunities as they arise?
I'd say it is a bit of taking my opportunities as they arise, but definitely I've always wanted to play test cricket. Through everything, like how T20 cricket's changed the game and how things are different now these days, still the number one for me is to play for my country in test cricket.
See, I love that answer because not only does it get me to my second part, but I think it's so great that there's still so much pull towards the test match, the test game itself. Do you think the domestic cricket format sets SA players up enough for the whole test level? Now, we've seen some very talented guys who can make that sort of test jump up there. But it's such a huge divide. Do you think the domestic format is kind of strong enough nowadays for that big step?
I definitely do think so. And I think the better players are definitely standing up. And when I say that, they are, so they always performing season in, season out, and they're getting their recognition. And then the next step is obviously to play SAA for the SAA side. So there you're going to play against similar players from across the world that are also trying to get into their national setups.
Okay, so all the naysayers out there who believe the domestic game is dying, we're not breeding enough talent towards the big step up. Things aren't as bad as our makes out.
No, definitely not. There's a lot of guys coming through the system, and over the past 2 years, there have been a hell of a lot of guys that have actually done really well, and a few guys have been rewarded now. I think one of the guys, Andile Petlakwayo,
he's only
like 20 years old now, and he's already playing for SA. I think they're in Australia now. They're busy with a four-day game at the moment.
Yeah, I think he got a 50, literally like last week,
yeah,
if not in this last match. Okay, so average sort of life, average day in the life for a pro cricketer, is it kind of what you were expecting going into it, or is it all very much like it's still different to you?
Well, when I was growing up, I didn't actually think it was like this at all. So most days I'd probably wake up about 8 o'clock and maybe take my dog for a walk for probably 20 minutes or so before I leave,
mm-hmm.
get to the ground or get to practice. Then depending on how I feel, I'd either gym before or gym after training and then have a training session, be done at like 12:30. So done with all the skills and then literally get home and just chill for the rest of the afternoon.
I've got a good authority that you're pretty much the fittest, or if not one of the fittest guys in the Gauteng team. Now, we all know that cricket in the past has had a few hefty guys.
Yeah.
You don't have to be the greatest shape. It's not like rugby or football where you've literally got to be a whippet or you've got to be a beefcake.
Yeah.
Is there a lot more pressure on cricketers nowadays to be in better shape and to really be like up there with their other sports?
I definitely do think so. I think a lot of guys are actually taking more pride in how their bodies are. So, I mean, they know it's going to negatively affect their performance if they are a bit out of shape, and a lot of guys have actually turned their physicality around or their physical conditioning around to take it a lot more seriously and try and be better in that aspect just to get that extra 5 or 10% edge on someone else that who's fighting for the same position.
Well, it also makes sense if you're looking to score a big 100. That's a lot of time out in the middle, concentration wise. If you're tired, you focus on how tired you are.
Exactly.
Less oxygen to the brain. Yeah, it makes sense.
If you're out of shape, you're going to be thinking of all sorts of other things. Whereas if you're in peak physical condition, you're only focusing about what you need to do, like when someone's running into ball to you.
So are you saying, like, to the point where guys are maybe drinking less, the fines meetings aren't quite as what they used to be? Like, do you guys have dietitians and people giving you like tips on how to, you know, have perfect nutrition for this?
A few of us have been to dietitians and have had like the lecture from them about how things are. Like, that's one of the things I actually learned at National Academy. It's definitely guys are taking more seriously what they're eating, and they're just not seeing food and eating it these days. Like, they're not just going to KFC and buying the whole of KFC anymore. They're like a bit more stringent on what they're eating. But there are a few guys that actually take it ridiculously seriously. Like one of our players, Shaylin, he's in the best nick I've ever seen a cricketer in my life. He's absolutely ripped to shreds, but he literally trains. Then straight after training, like whatever we do, he'll have his food prepped already. So he's already prepped food for like the morning, and he'd have like chicken and rice, or he'd have tuna and rice or tuna and veg. And
is he pushing for a men's health cover? Or
yes, I tell you, like, I must actually show you a picture of this guy. You'd actually think I'm joking, like how good a nick he is in.
Well, that's kind of cool. I'm sure he gets ragged appropriately for
yeah.
it. So again, just going back to from a fan's perspective, so much is made about coaches in sport. They're mm-hmm. often the guys who take a lot of flack for team results. In your opinion, what makes a really good coach in professional level? I mean, obviously, when you are going through the ranks, there's various developmental systems that need to be in place, and a coach becomes quite influential. You're at the stage now where you don't have to be coached a hell of a lot. It's more about managing your talents and getting the best out of you. So what would you say is what makes a really great coach at the top level?
I'd definitely say you need to understand his players, because like you said, it's all about managing. So the best coaches in the world are the best managers. Like, they know how to get the best out of their players. So from my experience, I'd say you need to know which buttons to push and who you can push the certain buttons with. So a few guys perform well when they're under serious pressure. A few guys need to be buttered up to say, no, you're the best bowler that we have, so don't worry about it. It was just a bad knockout or bad performance. Like, I believe in you. So I think that's definitely one of the biggest things that a coach has to have is knowing how to manage.
Sounds like herding cats.
You got to stroke guys' egos, unfortunately. Like, that's how it is. And some guys don't need that. Like, some guys, you just tell them, listen, you were absolutely terrible out there. What were you thinking? And they'll just sort it out themselves. With other guys, you actually need to like babysit them and like, come on, Yeah.
I guess it's that fine line as well, because you want to stroke the egos, but at the same time, you got to be quite hard yet fair, I suppose would definitely be the best thing.
Mm.
So a lot of conversations are happening around the Proteas, obviously Geoffrey Toyana. Now, this is the guy you work with, obviously, at the Gauteng. Would you say that, you know, he's a great example of that?
I'd say he is. He knows how to get the best out of all the players. And the biggest thing that he's actually given us is responsibility for our own game. So if you want to come to practice and you want to hit 5 balls or you want to bowl 10 balls, then, and you're happy with it, then it's fine. But as soon as you don't perform, then the finger gets pointed straight back at you and you can't blame anybody else but yourself. So he's definitely given you all the tools that you need, all the resources that you need. So there are people to throw to you. There are people to come in to give you help on bowling and batting or whatever you need. So the resources are all there. It's just if you want to take it or not. And I think that's the biggest thing that he's really taught myself over the past couple of years, is that if I'm not doing well, I've only got myself to blame. And if I want to get better, then I have to work harder, or I have to be doing the right things.
That's so cool. I like him more and more now. It's like, it's the whole empowerment thing. You know,
you
got to make people who can think of their feet. You got to really manage everything about your career.
And that's also the thing. Like if you do make the step up to the Proteas, I mean, he's not going to be there to throw to you, or I'm not going to have someone that has thrown to me all the time, or someone that I've had before. I'm going to have a totally different face. So you got to say to them, okay, this is what I want. This is what I need to do. Look out for this for me. And yeah, this is how I'm going about my practice schedule. So yeah, he's not going to be there to babysit you when he's gone, or if he moves on or whatever.
Or makes a move with you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That too, yeah.
See, there's other permutations here.
Yeah.
Okay, so just go quickly back to that whole T20 versus test match thing. Preparation-wise, as a batsman, how difficult is it to kind of get, how different is it to prepare for certain formats of the game? So if you go into, say, the Ramslam, you know, you're playing consecutive T20 matches. If you're going to go into the four-day tournament, you know, is there a very definite difference in preparation from your side?
Well, first and foremost, the foundation has to be set. So basics have to be up to scratch in all the formats. So you're not going to be able to hit a guy with extra cover for 6 if you can't, like, get your feet moving, for example. So first and foremost, the basics have to be the same through all the formats. I think the biggest change through the formats is just how you mentally approach it. So you just shift your mind. My mindset's just shifted a bit more. So in four-day cricket, I just look to be, like, quite tight and don't look to be too flashy. Whereas when I play one-day cricket, I go out there and I just express myself. So it's literally like see ball, hit ball. Whereas in four-day cricket, I don't have to do that. Like, I've got more time to play.
But does that mean you get more pressure in ODIs, or is it different kinds of pressure?
There is different kinds of pressure. Like, four-day cricket, a guy could be bowling, like, a serious spell where I've faced a few guys where I couldn't, like, lay bad on the ball, and I'm thinking to myself, geez, like, where am I actually going to score a run? And then you kind of just ride the wave, whereas T20 and one-day cricket, it's more like, okay, you need to hit a boundary now. So where am I going to hit my boundary? Because the run rate's up at 9 or 10 and over. So I need to hit 2 boundaries and it's over. How am I going to hit them? Where's he bowling? So yeah, there's a different type of pressure, but there's still pressure nonetheless.
Okay. So kind of like life more away outside of cricket, what other sports do you play recreationally, or what other, you know, sports you kind of take quite seriously?
My golf, although my golf hasn't been the best of late. I also play tennis, but I haven't played tennis in a while. The guys I normally play with are not in town. They're overseas at the moment, so I haven't had a chance to play a bit of tennis in a while. Yeah, that's pretty much the two that I play the most.
You find if you're batting well, your golf game is better.
No,
apparently they're quite well interconnected.
They are, but yeah, my golf game hasn't been great of late, so I don't know. It's just one of those things, really.
Okay, well, we'll go play some time. I'm sure you'll have a contrasting game to mine. You feel so much better about yourself. Okay, so if you weren't a cricketer, what would you want to do?
Well, when I was in high school, I've always wanted to be a physio, because I've been into my sports since I was really young. So, I don't know, probably physio, or I was also big into football when I was younger. So, probably would have tried football if that wasn't the case. Yeah.
Which then leads me to my final question for the section. Your favorite sports teams, who do you support?
So football, Manchester United.
Like from day one?
Yeah, from day one, yeah. Okay. Rugby, I'm a Lions fan.
So you have to ask that about football supporters, because you get guys who support Barcelona nowadays. I don't know where that came from.
Yeah.
Man City fans, it's you can't trust them.
Because they've taken a rise over the past couple of years, that's why.
I saw a funny tweet the other day. It says, thing that did not exist 12 years ago. WhatsApp, Twitter, Man City fans. Okay, so we've got one more section to go. Don, we've done particularly well, I thought, but now becomes the very difficult time. It's the quick fire questions.
Oh, great. Okay.
But let's get back to another song, another DJ Kent song. What else have we got on the playlist here? DJ Kent featuring Nandi Ngoma. Favorite of yours?
It's definitely one that's grabbed my attention over the past couple of weeks since it's come out.
Okay, so basically, if you want to ever just impress Dom in future, just mention DJ Kent.
House music.
House music. He's a big fan. Right. Yeah, I know this song. This is a goodie. Okay, we're going to come back and it's a quick fire questions. Can you? This is going to be like facing a session in the nets on a green top and a new ball.
Beautiful.
Won't you fly away with me?
Welcome back into the final section of a special feature of The Bounce Show. It's been a lot of fun so far. Like I always said, I'm never going to interview players because I never like to talk to players because I try to keep things very objective in my sporting analysis. But yeah, this has been a lot of fun, Dom. I've got to say, as players go, I can talk to you. This is very good.
Mm-hmm.
You've raised the profile of professional sports people in my mind. Right, into the final quickfire question section of the interview. Now, what this is going to entail is that you've got one pass. So you can pass on one of these questions. That's good. I'll give you two passes, okay?
Okay.
So I'm going to play a song in the background. It's going to go like this. So we basically got some more Drake, this time Hotline Bling. So I'm going to ask you questions for the length of the song. It's going to be as easy as that, really.
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Prepared. Let's wait for the beat. First question, if you had a superpower, what would it be?
Flying.
Flying?
Yeah.
Yeah, mine too. Dream two-car garage.
Two-car garage.
Money, no object, what would you have? Two-car garage.
65 Mustang, Shelby.
Uh-huh.
I probably have a...
Just don't say Prius.
No, definitely not a Prius. Yeah, I'd probably also have some other flashy sports car. I'd say maybe a Ferrari of some sort.
Okay, so you're not very practical when it comes to this.
No.
Where's your dog going to sit?
I'll walk.
Okay, beach or bush holiday?
Beach.
Okay, very good. Things you love most about cricket?
Things I love most about cricket?
Yeah, what are like the biggest thing you love about cricket?
It's different every time I play.
Very good. Single or involved?
Involved.
Very good. Who is the hottest woman in SA right now?
The hottest woman in SA right now? Jeepers. I have to pass that one.
You're going to pass that one? Yeah. Okay, fair enough. What makes you work harder each day?
My dream.
Your dream?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Sorry, I've lost my place here. If you could be any sports star for a day, who would you be?
Sports star for a day?
If you could live the life of a certain sports star in the world for a day, who would it be?
Ooh. He's like, I don't know. I'd say probably like maybe Rory McIlroy.
Be Rory McIlroy. Okay, golf. Yeah, that's good. Lots of money, lots of fun. If you were given the choice of being a test legend or a T20 legend internationally, what would you choose?
Definitely test legend.
Good answer. Does Themba Bavuma fit into his own cricket coffin?
Yes, he does.
Steak or sushi?
Both.
Okay. There's no wrong answers here. Player that you like... Sorry... Player you least like facing in the nets?
Player I least like facing in the nets?
Yeah, which bowler is kind of a little bit scary.
I'd have to say that would be Carmel LaRue.
Okay. In a game of shag, marry or kill, what would you do with the following contestants? Hillary Clinton, Oprah, or Tuli Madonsela? Shag, marry, kill.
Hillary Clinton, Oprah, and
Tuli Madonsela.
Now I'll pass that one.
You're gonna pass that one. Yeah. You've used both the passes.
Okay.
Who is your celebrity out?
A celebrity out.
So if you were to say, if you had one night with like one a celebrity, who would it be?
Any celebrity, like just Cristiano Ronaldo.
Can I rephrase the question? Okay, so everyone's got that sort of fantasy. So when you have this weird conversation with your boyfriend or girlfriend, depending on who you are, there's got to be one person that you would cheat on your significant other with. What's your celebrity out in that respect?
This has never come up.
My girlfriend asked me this as well, and it's the toughest question in my mind, so I'm going to pose it to you. And you've already used both your passes, so this is really difficult.
Maybe it was a bit of a mistake to use it earlier.
Song's still playing in the background, so we've got plenty of time.
Jeepers.
Okay, we'll come back to that.
Okay.
Favorite movie of all time?
Favorite movie of all time? There's a few. Shawshank Redemption.
Very good. Favorite TV series of all time?
Favorite TV series of all time? I'd have to say Suits.
Okay, very good. Biggest fear when going out to bat?
Biggest fear? Getting a duck on my first ball.
Best bowler you've ever faced?
Best bowler I've ever faced?
Yeah.
I think Ronnie Morkel.
Okay. If you could be an animal, what would it be?
A cat.
Very good. Favorite city in South Africa?
Cape Town.
Is this interview going well?
Yes.
Least favorite cricketer in world cricket?
In world cricket?
Yeah.
Stuart Broad.
Very good. Okay, the song is finished. I had a few other questions, but you know what? You finished on a real high there. Thomas, it's been absolutely great having you. Thank you so much for your time today. I really have to do this feature more often because I think pro sports people get the wrong sort of rep. You know, a lot of people say that they don't have a lot to them. They're so hugely managed. They can't say a hell of a lot to the press. And I understand why, but I mean, you've been very entertaining today. Your big dream, of course, is playing for the Proteas. You want to be a test player.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's an admirable dream because people do either follow the money or the fame of T20. I think you're a guy with your head in the right place, and your work ethic seems amazing. I've actually been chatting to various people about you. I'm not going to mention them now.
Okay.
And there's a reason why I wanted to start this whole feature with you. And you've got a really good reputation out there. You've got a great work ethic, and a cricketer who chooses fitness is a big deal in my book. Where can people find more of you if they're going to follow your career as far as social media and that kind of stuff?
Okay, so on Twitter, I'm at Dom_Hendricks. Then Instagram, just Dom Hendricks. And then Snapchat, I think, is also Dom_Hendricks.
Very good. Okay, so you do the Snapchat, you do all these kind of things. Dom, thanks so much for your time today. It's been a very cool interview. The Bounce Show back to normal as of next week. We're going to have the guys from Conquer Sport back with another fantastic feature. We're going to have a nice look back at the Olympics and really assess what's been going on and why I think this still is the greatest event in the world and how we can make it better going forward. I think, you know, obviously economically and all that kind of stuff, Brazil might not be in the best place. The legacy might not be as good as everyone thinks it could be. So we're going to just recap about the Olympics. So catch this podcast, if you haven't caught all of it, on thebounce.co.za, or if you go into cliffcentral.com, go on to The Bounce Show. There's a full page there. Basically, I've got a really weird grin and a red shirt. You can't miss it. And catch you back next week. Thanks for joining us. Ciao.
Cliff Central. The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.